Hello, everyone. It's a privilege to speak to you tonight. it's been wonderful to hear from you all, from Bob, from Father Tim / Father Adam. I guess they've melded into one person somehow. But I'm here to talk to you not about the last 30 years, but about the next 30 years. And of course, being a philosophy professor, we need to start with a little metaphysics. And being a Hillsdale philosophy professor, it needs to be Aristotelian metaphysics. I don't know who thought it would be a good idea to ask me to speak. Never give a philosopher a microphone. It's well known that the material in the human body is completely replaced, or nearly so, every 7 to 10 years. And yet you don't have multiple bodies throughout your life. You do not have one body in your youth, and then another body when you're an adult, and then another body in your old age. As different as your body may now be from what it was when you were 20, and we won't hear dwell on just how different, might need to get another drink before we do that, it's still the one same body. Applying this to our church, what makes our church today the same body of believers as it was 30 years ago? The faces are different. Some are still with us, but many have gone. And many new ones have joined us. We look very different today from how we did at our founding. And yet we are the same church. What makes us the same today as we were 30 years ago? And perhaps more pertinently, what will ensure that from 30 years from now, we are still the same fellowship yesterday and today? There are some who think this is impossible. Heraclitus, the ancient philosopher of Phlius, took such a position. He was reported as saying that you can never step in the same river twice. Nothing is stable, nothing lasts. Applying this to our bodies, in the exchange of matter, the body that results is not the same as the body that we began. What there are instead is a distinct succession of bodies, one following after another. And to be fair, there's something persuasive about this idea. Is the body you have now really the same as the body you had 2 years ago? If you're not feeling the weight of this question now, maybe we should revisit it after Thanksgiving dinner. Anyhow, Aristotle disagreed. His challenge then was to explain how the body could be numerically the same and yet qualitatively so different. His solution was to introduce a source of unity above and beyond the material composing the body, a substantial form that united the matter together into a genuine whole rather than a mere loose association of parts. This unifying principle actively organized the materials present within the body, directing their activity towards the flourishing of the whole, kind of animating force. This unifying principle also serves to define the body as the kind of thing that it is. It is the body's essence or nature. How does this furnish us with a response to Heraclitus? Well, so long as the new material was integrated into the organism by this same unifying principle, the body tomorrow remains the same body as today. The matter may be different, but it is in essence the same. Now, this might sound esoteric, but I suggest that it may be more familiar to you than you think. For you know what Aristotle called the organizing principle in living organisms. He called it the soul. So what is the soul of Holy Trinity? What are our uniting principles? The principles that animate us, direct us, and make us what we are. Well, first and foremost, we are a part of the body of Christ. And so our organizing principle, our soul, is the very Holy Spirit himself. This is attested to from the earliest chapters of Scripture, wherein God forms man from dust and breathes into his nostrils the breath of life, upon which man first becomes a living being. We must never forget, then, that we as a church are a part of the larger Catholic Church, and that our essence and mission were not established 30 years ago, but 2000, and that our founders were not Michiganders, but Jews, and in particular, one man, the head of the body, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We live in a world that increasingly pressures us to abandon the principles upon which the Church of Jesus was founded. To update our mission and vision, to get with the times, if we do not resist these temptations, if we do not remain true to him and his gospel above all, then truly Holy Trinity Church is no more. We are also, of course, a local parish, a small part of the larger body of Christ that has been endowed by the Spirit with unique giftings. And so we must also ask what it is that defines our particular community. For if Holy Trinity is to remain Holy Trinity, the same tomorrow as it is today, and things that have animated us for the last 30 years must continue to do so in the future. The faces may change, but the soul of Holy Trinity must remain. It was with something like this in mind that the Strategic Planning Committee met last year to discuss our community. We talked a lot about what defines us, and we tried to articulate some of those principles in the mission statement produced by that committee. If you read it, you will notice that its subtitle is Who We Are. This document is our imperfect and incomplete attempt to lay out those things that have in the past and present animated our particular fellowship. And to remain true to Holy Trinity is these things that we should strive to remain faithful to in the future. In that way, the legacy of those who came before us is carried on. In fact, before I finish my comments, I want to take a moment for us to recognize the work of those who have done so much to create and sustain Holy Trinity for these 30 years. Even if you depart from us, what you have built here remains. Thank you for all that you've done. So, consonant with that vision laid out in the mission statement, I see an exciting future for Holy Trinity. We're growing. The college is the main source of this growth, including, though certainly not limited to, an ever-increasing number of college students. We intend to pour into them. For we recognize that in forming them, we extend the influence of Holy Trinity across the country, sending forth lights that shine in an otherwise dark world. This is, in our context, one of the main ways that we carry out the Great Commission. It is vital, then, that we provide opportunities for these college students to be integrated into our fellowship and mentored by our older members. We do not want college to be our only source of growth, however, and so we intend to find new inroads in our community, searching for ways in which we might bring the transforming love of Jesus into the lives of our neighbors. We are also growing in the old-fashioned way. We are blessed with a church full of children, with more coming by the minute. I'm finally contributing in this respect. Yeah. Although, my lovely wife and all of them are good. We intend to have a vibrant children and family ministry that grows alongside our children. We hope to continue bringing in new people in all of these ways, and when we do, we must ensure there is a vibrant fellowship in which to enfold them. We want to share life together, to invest in each other, to celebrate together and to weep together and everything in between. And for us, that starts with the breaking of bread. We intend to continue investing in our fellowship ministries, providing opportunities for people to experience the warmth and kindness of our community. In addition to this, we must also ensure that we are continually training our members as disciples in Christ. This is achieved primarily through faithful dispensation of word and sacrament, but also through educational programs and ministries that apply the teachings of Jesus to realities of daily life. Moreover, we must do all of these things with attention to beauty and the ways in which language and color and sound can draw our hearts in reverence and worship towards God. We want sacred music, in particular, to continue to be a defining part of our fellowship for the years to come. And finally, all of this we must do while drawing on the resources made available to us through the Anglican tradition, believing that there is great wisdom contained within this inheritance from which we continue to benefit today. If we are to do all of this, we are to bring these great hopes and dreams to fruition, we need a new building, or at least we need to make our current building bigger. This is crucial, I think, if we want to continue on the trajectory of growth that we are on. If we do not take this step, I fear we become stagnant. Rather, let us move forward, trusting in the faithfulness of God, confident that he will continue to bless us so long as we remain faithful to him and his purposes for us. What will this new building be like? Well, whatever we do, it must be beautiful. It must be feasible, and it must be tailored to the future that we see for ourselves. This means more space in the nave for a growing church body, more classroom space for a growing number of children, a better kitchen for preparing food, and a bigger place in which to consume it, and additional rooms in which music and educational programs can take place. Aware of our need, Father Adam, with the support of the vestry, has engaged an architect to help us explore how we might achieve these goals, and the result is before you. If you didn't see the drawings on the way in, you'll notice that there's a table set up back there that I encourage you to look at before you leave. These drawings are not finalized. We're still working on getting final numbers and remain open to tweaks and suggestions. But what they do represent are a real possibility. We could do this. We should do this. And with your support, we will do this. A couple of details are worth drawing your attention to. First, there are really two building projects being discussed here. One is building a parish hall adjoined to the main building, which would allow for the basement to be converted into classroom space. The second is the expansion of our nave. Cleverly done, I think, by the suggestion of Father Adam, by adding transepts to either side of the chancel, extending our building roughly into the shape of the cross. It is likely that any construction would occur in phases, completing the parish hall first and expanding the nave at a later date, assuming God's continued provision. In terms of cost, we are looking, our preliminary ballpark figures, so the final estimate could be quite different, but we're looking somewhere between $350,000 to $450,000 for the parish hall, and potentially $400,000 to $550,000 for the extensions to the nave. We wish to do so with the ancient timber frame style, which we did. I also want to note that because of the stewardship of our vestry throughout the years, we already have considerable cash reserves that can be applied towards this project. We have been given a head start. But those details will come later. What we want to do tonight is dream together. Together we could build this building, and if we do, I believe that the vibrant future we envision for Holy Trinity can become a reality. This is not the launch of a building campaign. Although we have already started receiving donations for the building fund, including an extremely generous $10,000 donation from an anonymous parishioner. We will be launching an official campaign next year once the plans are finalized. But what I want you to ask you to do tonight is to start prayerfully considering what role God might be asking you to play in Holy Trinity in the coming years. How might you contribute? Part of this, of course, is financial. We're going to build this. We're going to need to sacrifice financially. Giving in this way is an act of faith in God and in our community. But the dollars we invest in this space are dollars invested in the extension of Christ's kingdom, in the transformation of lives, and in the saving of souls. But more than this, what will you contribute of your time, your energy, your talents? What we have built here is a rare and precious thing, and it continues only if we continue to invest in it. Let us be as faithful to Holy Trinity over these next 30 years as our members have been for the last 30 years, that we may hand our body over to its next stewards in a state that is as healthy as it is now. I know that I have personally been so blessed to be a part of this fellowship, and I want to see that expanded to many more. Thank you, Holy Trinity. May we continue to do God's work for many years to come.